Let her go.
It's now time for The Baseline, a weekly roundup of spring high school sports, including baseball, softball, track, soccer, and more. With your host, Noel Wall, and Olympian prep reporter, Dave Weber. Now, The Baseline.
Well, good morning and happy Friday, and welcome to what's going to be kind of a rainy weekend off and on. Live from the historic waterfront studios of KGY, it is The Baseline. I'm Noel Wall, along with Olympian prep contributor Dave Weber. Today's show, golf, tennis, postseason baseball, and fast pitch. We're going to talk about who's out, who's in, and what it's going to take to finish on top. Dave, you talked with Yelm fast pitch coach Lindsey Walton ahead of their opening game in the state tournament today. We'll hear that later.
Yeah, we'll hear from her and a couple other people. But, yeah, she knows that her team needs to do a lot of hitting to win in the state tournament. So we'll see if they do that.
And Timberline's girls, kind of a Cinderella story. They start play about the same time we sign off today. You also spoke with Blazer coach Lindy Polanco.
Yeah, they'll be playing Prairie at 9 a.m., and they definitely are a Cinderella story. They had to come through the back end of the bracket to make it. They had a tough season because if Lindsay Polanco's daughter Jasmine doesn't pitch, they're a little bit inexperienced in the pitching department, and they don't win those games. So when Jasmine got back in the circle after a concussion scare, they became extremely tough to beat and ended up in state despite just having an 11-11 record. But the hitting that they have makes them just as possible as anybody else to fight their way towards the end of the tournament.
9 o'clock game for them. And let's see, Tumwater sports success continues. Senior Lily McCauley finished finished second in 2A girls golf that was held right nearby. And you talked with both her and her coach, Andrew Beagle.
Yeah, they played, she played on their home course, and she did extremely well. Shot a 141 for the 2 days. And just fell victim to a very hot Brooke Galinas from White River, who had a 69 on the first day of the tournament. So pretty sharp round for a high school girl. And Lily was right with her the whole way, just finished one stroke behind.
All right. Plus, Washington State's track and field championships are underway at Mount Tahoma and Tacoma for the bigger schools, Eastern Washington University and Cheney for the smallers. We already have several local champions. We're going to hear about them and a lot of the events as the show moves on. But let's begin, and we are going to begin with track and Pope John Paul II. The Eagles did have some track going on.
Yeah, just so as people listen to the show today, we're kind of a mixture of the district meets from last week. We don't want to ignore the people that did well in that, but we did have some events yesterday. The state meets run all day today and all day tomorrow, but they started late yesterday, so there are a few events. So we kind of have a blend of some early state to report and some stuff from last week as well. But as far as John Paul, the Eagles got three boys into the top seven of the state 1B 1600 meters at Eastern Washington, which you mentioned. That is where all the 1B, 2B, and 1A action will take place through tomorrow, so we won't repeat that over and over again. That's where all these next few schools will be competing. And of those three that finished in the top seven of the 16, it was Trevor Dugo who won. Samuel Rucker finished fourth, and Caden Harley seventh. And if you think three in the top levels of an event is a lot, the girls got four into the top six of that same 1600 meters. Claire Conrad was second, Caitlin King third, Adeline Hecht fifth, and Ariel Brewer sixth. So guess what events are popular at Pope John Paul?
Yeah.
They've got some good middle distance to long distance runners. Last week in the districts, the Eagles finished third as a team in both boys and girls. That was a multi-district meet, 1, 2, 3, and 4, so just about half the state there. And other qualifiers to look for later in the state meet, Francis Pettis made it in the 100 and 200. Dugo was also district champ in the 800. Rucker, Harley, Dugo, Luke Christensen, and Nathan Miller all made it in the 3200. 4x100 relay team, Ryan Christensen, Max Salvador, Pettis, and Rucker. And breaking up the monotony of running, Noah Braun also qualified in the shot and discus. And on the girls' side, Isabella Friedlein advanced in the 400. Conrad Hecht, Mariah Steinbrecher in the 800. And a bunch in the 3200 again. King, Conrad, Brewer, Isabel Salvador, and Taylor Ames. And Lindsey King in the 100 hurdles, so a sprint there. And the 4x200 relay team, Hecht, Natanya Steinbrecher, Mariah Steinbrecher, and Friedlein. And also the 4x4 team of King, Hecht, Conrad, and Mariah Steinbrecher. So, as always, the big sport of John Paul is typically track, and they did extremely well in the 1B district meet, so they will continue to have people popping up the next 2 days at state.
All right. Northwest Christian also has some track news.
Yeah, they do. They're also usually pretty tough in the track and field. And yesterday, the Ingrams were at it again. They both finished in the exact same spot. Asher Ingram was fifth in the boys' 1600 at the 2B meet. Madison Ingram was fifth in the girls' 1600. And last Friday, the Wolverines finished ninth in the boys and 10th in the girls in the 21-team multi-district meet, which was held in Chehalis. And they sent several athletes on to 2B state. Asher Ingram will also be in the 32. Hannah Livingston and Anna Green in the 800. And Madison Ingram will also be in the 3200 at state.
All right, a lot of news there. On to 2B Central, where Rainier Mountaineers, the girls' fast pitch team, although they lost a couple games to Fork Spartans, they did have wins over Tule Lake and Onalaska, which propelled them to the next level.
That is correct. They had a really busy week. They lost to 10-0 to Forks. That was supposed to be earlier, but it kept getting rained out. But then they had to battle back after that and got a rematch with the Spartans for third place by beating Tule Lake 2-1 behind 11 Bailey Elwell strikeouts. Rallied for six runs in their last at bat to beat Onalaska 12-10 as Alyssa Lofgren, Madison Mounts, and Rachel Hansen each drove in two runs. Then at Forks got them again, beat them 16-4 despite a homer and four RBIs from Elwell. But Rainier had already clinched the 10th seed to district, to state. In a 10 a.m. matchup today with 7th seeded Liberty of Spangwell. And that will be at the Gateway Sports Complex in Yakima. So there will be some softball still to come for Rainier. And yesterday in 2B state track, Dylan Davis was 8th in the boys 1600. And Harbor Lees qualified for the finals of the 100 meters. As one feature of state we don't see earlier in the year, they do have some events where they will have qualifying races one day and the top eight race for the championship on another day, and that is what happened in the 100 meters. So Harbor Lee's qualified, but we don't know his placing just yet. Last week's district meet, Davis was a qualifier for state in the pole vault as well as 1600, and double district champion Jeremiah Nubby won the shot and the discus, and he added a third event by finishing second in the javelin, had a PR of 170 feet 4 inches in that one. Ryan Dodge won the district pole vault title. Chase McFarland, the triple jump with Thomas Ronnie third behind him. And for the girls, freshman Acacia Murphy qualified for state in the 200 and high jump. Selena Niemi made it in the 800 and 1600. Ella Marvin in the 800. Faith Besh in the 32. And the 4x100 relay team of Emma Mathson, Marvin, Isabella Holmes, and Niemi will be in state, and they have district champions in Autumn Kenny in the shot put, Isabel Holmes in the discus, and Marvin and Anna Champlin in the pole vault. So lots of Mountaineers to come at state.
All right, that's fun right there. Up to 1A, Tenino Beavers, they have a tennis qualifier for the state tournament.
Yeah, nothing for them in yesterday's state results. I know they've got a couple of kids that are going. We'll pick them up for next week's show. But in tennis, Megan Letts, who's quite the multi-sport athlete for the Beavers, she played soccer and basketball, and then she won the district singles title in tennis. And she will open up the 1A state girls tournament today against Ellen Wickham of Connell, and that will be at the Yakima Tennis Club. So a lot of state stuff going on in Yakima.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that wraps up our first segment for the morning. There is a lot to come to a baseball fast pitch. We've got more about track and, of course, also golf and more tennis coming up, too. Don't go away. You're listening to The Baseline. This is 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
Your drive is 20 minutes on I-5 northbound from 405 to 520. Anticipate scattered traffic from Auburn to Renton on 167 heading north. You have intermittent delays as you head east on 164 in Auburn just after First Street. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Seves.
Sponsored by Taco Bell. Give yourself a new morning routine with the Bell Breakfast Box from Taco Bell. It's filled with a grande toasted breakfast burrito, hash brown, two Cinnabon Delights, and a coffee. Swing by participating locations for a limited time only. Drinks excludes freezes.
Nothing brings the family together like a home-cooked meal. Let Whirlpool and Maytag appliances help you handle what the day brings. From smart cooking to dependable dishwashers, McKinney's Appliance has it all. With the largest selection of Whirlpool and Maytag appliances in the area, you're sure to find the perfect appliances for your cooking needs. Shop for the best appliances with the latest features at McKinney's Appliance today. McKinney's Appliance, serving Southwest Washington since 1972.
Business banking made personal and easy. It's Timberland Bank's way to take the time to find solutions and services for your business. And as simple as opening a business account online. We provide cash management and merchant services, remote deposit, payment processing solutions, and of course, business loans, complete with fast, local support. It's what we do. So let's do it for you.
Banking made easy. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Timberland Bank. How can we help you?
Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates is celebrating 20 years of providing foot and ankle care to families. Our trusted, experienced, and caring team will provide you with the high-quality, comprehensive care that you deserve. Our surgical procedures are performed on our on-site, state-of-the-art surgical suites. As part of your care, we also offer physical therapy. Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates accepts most insurances, including state. Visit anklefoot.net to book your appointment today.
Helping you put your best foot forward.
Are you ready for the fourth annual TVW Golf Tournament? Yes, TVW invites you to join us Tuesday, September 20th at the Golf Club at Hawks Prairie. Sign up for the fourth annual TVW Open at tvw.org and we'll see you there.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
5.3 Olympia's KGY. Let her go.
And welcome back. You are with Dave Weber and me, Noel Wall, on The Baseline today, celebrating not just the baselines, the touch line, start line, the foul line, the finish line. And I don't know what other lines there are, but we'll get to them if there are.
Well, there's more than one baseline, right? There's a baseball baseline, the tennis baseline.
Oh, that's true. There we go. Sidelines right there on the tennis court as well. Hey, we're here thanks to McKinney's Appliance with Maytag and Whirlpool Appliances that make your life easier. McKinney's Appliance on Martin Way in Lacey and on Olympia's West Side. Also, Choice Regional Health Network. Choice Regional Health is your partner for community health and services. And we're up to 2A in the Evergreen Conference. Shelton's boys got bounced by Ellensburg last weekend.
Yeah, they did. They were in the state meet. That was the regional portion of the state baseball tournament. And they finished up the season 17-7. That game went into extra innings before the Climbers lost 6-5. So a lot of people were pointing out that there was very close to having them, Tumwater, and WF West all advance to the Final Four, but except for kind of the way the bracketing was, that didn't work out too well. But Shelton definitely was a strong team this year. In that loss to Ellensburg, Cole Schlender tripled and drove in three runs. while Wyatt Wagner and Tobin Dudley added two hits apiece, so they didn't go down without a struggle. And in track, the Clamors already have a state champion in the 2A, 3A, and 4A meet, which is being held at Mount Tahoma High School in Tacoma. That will be all the rest of the teams we talk about today. So if we talk about the state meet, that's where it is. Not going to repeat it over and over. But their champion is Alana Karstens. She ran a PR, got under the five-minute mark at 4:58.34 to edge Kate Laurent of Ellensburg by a tenth of a second to win the 2A girls 1600. I guess that got some revenge for the baseball game, huh?
So, yeah.
And last week in the districts, they hosted the district meet. They finished ninth in the girls and 12th in the boys. Caden Pearson qualified for state in both the 100 and 200. Jordan Sartori in the high jump. And for the girls, Karstens also won the 3200, and Allie Clifton will be in the 3200 at state as well.
All right, and just an offside note, if you go to Mount Tahoma to see any of that track meet, swing by Clover Park High School and look at their Arlington Project display. It goes on every Memorial weekend, and you'll be maybe, I'm speechless when I drive by, but it is a great memorial to all the people that we think about this weekend. As we move on with the show, Rochester Warriors, we're fast pitch. The girls beat Aberdeen and are going to play Linden at 10 o'clock.
Yep, that'll be in the state 2A softball tournament. That's going to be at Carlin Park up in over in Sela. Not quite to Yakima, but in the suburbs of Yakima, if there is such a thing. And they are 15-7 at this point. First state tournament for the Warriors since 2000. So a 22-year gap between appearances. And as you mentioned, they survived a loser-out game with Aberdeen last Friday, winning 10-4 for the final District 4 slot to state. And Rochester scored six runs in the bottom of the first against the Bobcats and kind of coasted home. And after that, Cassidy Bird drove in three runs and Royzen stole Robinson two. Lakota Eskett pitched four innings of shutout ball before giving way to reliever in the fifth. Track and field, nothing yet from state, but they do have a threat. They brought up the rear in the boys and girls standings at District 4, but they had one shining exception, and that is their boys senior sprinter, Talon Betts. He set school records to win the 100 in 11.06 and the 200 in 22.38 at districts, both in the top 10 among 2A competitors this spring. So be interesting to see how Talon does up at Tacoma.
Yeah, we'll look forward to hearing about that next week. Black Hills Wolves, they have both golf and tennis news.
And a little tiny bit of track. They had Olivia Hesaw qualify for today's finals in the 100 hurdles at state. And I'm going to talk a little bit about last week's district, where the Wolves finished fourth in the boys' standings and eighth in the girls' at districts. Shot putter Austin Emslin won the district title. And Daniel Robertson in the 100, Adam Roderick in the 400, Jerron Griffin in the 800, and Travis Carson in the triple jump, also qualifying for state. And among the girls, Hesaw will also be in the 300 hurdles. Ashley Harris in the shot put, Kennedy Emsland in the discus, and Jessica Bender in the long jump. But as you mentioned, golf and tennis in the 2A girls state golf at nearby Tumwater Valley. Lindley Davis made the cut to the second day, but she didn't really challenge the leaders too much. But a good performance for her to get that far in the state tournament. And in tennis, there will be a Wolves doubles team of Athena Moore and Sienna Moore. They have a first-round matchup in the 2A girls tournament up at the Nordstrom Tennis Center in Seattle. They will play Sarah Chang Lin and Viv Koo of Sammamish.
All right, very good. Time for take a big breath here because there's a lot to talk about with Tumwater. The boys beat Shadle Park and Ephrata to set up a 1 p.m. match with WF West, who beat Anacortes and White River to get here today.
Yeah, it's the 2A EFCO, obviously the toughest baseball league in the state. A lot of complaining online about Why didn't they seed it such that the Tumwater and WF West wouldn't have to play each other till the final? But that's the way fourth seed Tumwater and ninth seed WF West are going to get placed into a bracket. But fourth seeded Tumwater carries a 19-6 record into that game. They reached the Final Four with a 7-1 win over Shadle, and then that was followed by the 2-1 victory over Afreda that you talked about. That was all played on WF West Field. And against Shadle Park, Ryan Orr is going to Washington State. Of course, he struck out 17 and didn't give up an earned run. Braden Oram and Trent Roy both had two hits and two runs batted in. And versus Afreda, UNLV-bound pitcher Jordan Hansen struck out 11 and gave up no earned runs in 6 2/3 before Alex Overbay came on to get the final out. And Orr and Landon Roy drove in Tumwater's runs in that one. On the other diamond, the Tumwater team is still going as well. Softball team is 19-2, and they're six-seeded. They'll get underway at 10 a.m., not too long from now. No time to drive out to Sela to watch that.
Yeah.
But they will be playing 11th-seeded North Kitsap at 10 a.m. And the T-Birds lost the district championship game last week 4-2 to WF West, which thus earned the second seed in the tournament. In the loss, Jalen Manriquez homered for Tumwater, and freshman pitcher Ella Ferguson, she did go the distance and strike out 9 despite taking the defeat. But I would not count the T-Birds out in the state tournament despite only being seeded 6th. They're 19-2 on the year. One of those losses coming to WF West, who they also beat earlier in the year. So, T-Bird's still a threat, I think, to win that thing or at least get some sort of trophy out of it.
All right. That'll be fun to hear about. Boys soccer, they were in till they lost to Burlington Edison on penalty kicks.
They did, a scoreless tie, and they went to penalty kicks and lost. I think it was 5-4 in penalty kicks, from what I can gather. That ended their season with a 15-7 record. But it will not end soccer at Sid Otten Field, as the state Final Four is being played at Tumwater, despite the fact that the T-Birds didn't make it into it. And today's semifinals, Squalicum will play Sammamish at 4 p.m., and that'll be followed immediately at 6 o'clock by Burlington Edison versus Columbia River. Tomorrow, there'll be a third-place game at noon, and then a little break before the championship game goes on at 4 p.m. So still some soccer. If you're a soccer fan, you can see some pretty good high school ball at Tumwater District Stadium.
Yeah, a lot of fun and close place to go and see. Is it Sid Otten Pitch for the weekend?
I know, because it says field right on it. You can't.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They spray painted that on there. I think it's pretty tough to change it. But in spirit, it will be. Let's put it that way. As the players run out there wearing their kits instead of their uniforms, right?
Right, exactly. Hey, and go ahead.
I always call that soccer grammar because, my daughter actually played pro basketball in Britain, and they called their uniforms a kit in basketball because that's what Brits call things, right? They call them kits.
Yeah.
And so I always feel like it's kind of weird that we say kit for soccer. We should say uniform because that's what we say here. But so anything different than that, I call it soccer grammar. But people can get mad at me if they want, but they'll also won't get mad at me because they're too busy getting ready to go out and watch those games today.
Exactly. And Tumwater also has some track, right?
Oh, yeah. They got a bunch of track. They've got some really tough competitors in that, some of which have already done well at the state meet. Alyssa Duncan led the 2A qualifiers in the 100 hurdles. The final will be later today, but she ran 15.04 in the prelims. And Natalie Sumrock became one of those champions we alluded to in the open, as she threw 126 feet 2 inches in the javelin on her second throw and then held on for the win. Tumwater's 4x200 relay team of Mariah Jett, Annabelle Clapp, Reese Harry Ford, and Ava Jones had the fastest qualifying mark in the 4x2 at 145.74. And the same four also qualified in the 4x400 relay. For the boys in qualifying, Seth Weller ran a PR of 15.4 to qualify for today's finals in the 110-meter hurdles. The boys run just a little bit farther than the girls. John Hoffer finished seventh in the 1600, which was the final. And the 4x4 relay team of Weller and Alexander Ickert, Reese Howell, and Adam Overbay qualified for the finals. And at the districts last week, the T-Birds won the girls' meet, and they finished third among the boys. So some good finishes there. Overbay, whose dad obviously will coach and brother will play in state for the baseball team today, he also reached the final level of competition at state for the 200. And other T-Birds bound for state include Hoffer again in the 3200, Howell in the 400, and a 4x100 relay team of Christian Schlecht, Weller, Overbay, and Makai Odoms, and a 4x400 squad of Weller, Overbay, Howell, and Christian Lee. And for the girls, in addition to the hurdles, Duncan also won the long jump and triple jump at district, and Sumrock also won the shot put, so she'll be in that at state. Ava Jones was district champ in both the 100 and 200, and she got a PR of 26.51 in the 200, which is the eighth best in 2A this season. Clapp won the 400 in the state's second best time of 59.1. Avery Coker qualified in the pole vault, as did all three Tumwater relays. So as we know, they've already moved on in state as well. So quite a bit of success on the track this year for the T-Birds.
That is fantastic.
Yep, and so we got some golf to report from the T-Birds. The boys finished ninth as a team. That 2A state championship was right here in town, as were four of the different events. 2A boys was at Capital City, right where I used to live. And I used to live right by the 13th hole, and they were led by Reagan Broom, who finished ninth as an individual. But meanwhile, the one we're going to highlight a little bit, Lily McCauley finished second in the 2A girls state that, as we mentioned earlier, was at the T-Birds home course of Tumwater Valley. And she finished a single stroke behind the champion, Brooke Galinas of White River, who is, Lily's going to mention, I think, in the interview. She's going to Washington State. And Brooke Galinas is another Division I bound golfer headed for Utah Tech.
All right. A lot of fun. And you talked with both Lily and Coach Andrew Beagle. I'm going to play that. Here is Andrew.
You walked the course with Lily today?
Yeah, walked the back nine with her, yeah.
Okay, and so what did you see today? What was good about her?
Classic consistency. I mean, that is her game, you know, and even keel, you know, body language, mentality approach. And that's been her thing, and that's why she's been so successful all 4 years here. So.
Did the fact that she was playing here at home make any difference at all, or do you think she would have done just as well anywhere else?
Honestly, I think she would have done just as good anywhere else. Obviously, there's a comfort level. One sleeping in your own bed. But just knowing the course is, the course was set up amazing this year. They've done a good job. But for example, I mean, for our district tournament, it was at Mint Valley, and she'd never played it in her life. And it was out and just amazing. So, you know, she's the type of golfer where she can see what's in front of her, evaluate it, and just play amazing golf. So.
And how do you foresee her career going at Washington State?
Absolutely. I mean, she's going to be a very successful golfer. And again, it comes back to that approach and mentality, just her personality, and how that translates to her approach to getting better. It's been really fun to watch her progress over the year. And she's just such a great person, you know, and that's really what's fun to see, too.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And that is Tumwater Golf Coach Andrew Beagle. Here is the 2A girls runner-up, Lily McCauley.
What do you remember about your round? Where did you do well, and where did you do poorly?
I mean, I drove the ball really well this week. Hit quite a few greens. Not a whole lot of birdies dropped for me this week, but that happened. And we had a lot of fun, so it was a good time.
Did you know the other girls you were playing with today in that last group?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Do you play a lot of, obviously, Tim was saying you play golf year-round.
I do.
What's the next biggest thing you've ever won or come in close to winning?
I've won, the WJGA state championship 3 years ago.
Is that from age group, or was it just for juniors?
It was from 14 to 18 years
14, 18
old,
years
and I was
old.
15 years old when I won it.
So did you have a home court advantage today or this weekend when you came in here?
I did, yeah. This is, obviously where we play our home matches, so definitely did have a little bit of an advantage.
Where did that come into play?
I think certain lines off the tee I knew a little bit better than certain players. Pin placements, that might be tricky, and just the best places to set yourself up for that.
What's the next thing you're headed for after this?
I have a AJJ event in Vegas that I leave for on Saturday.
Oh, really? So you can go right down there, huh?
I do.
What's the name of that?
It's AJJ, American Junior Golf Association.
So it's just it's a championship meet, or is it just a...
Yeah, it's a national kind of event.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And have you gone to that before?
I have.
How did you fare in the past?
Pretty solid. I've done pretty well there. A lot of good competition. Haven't won an AJGA, but have played well in a few.
And are you going to college for golf?
I am.
Where are you going?
I'm committed to Washington State.
I did not know that. Okay, that's good. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Okay, so why are you wearing salmon today instead of green or crimson?
This is kind of what I pulled out of the closet today.
Yeah, we're necessarily going to go with school colors.
No.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
Thank
talking
you.
To you. Lily McCauley right there. You talked to her about what she was wearing, and you said to me off air, Dave, that pretty much all the other golfers were wearing, you know, their school colors.
Yeah, Lily, a little bit of an individualist. Tim Graham, their athletic director, he was just joking. He said, well, not everybody likes green, but her coach had a Tumwater t-shirt on, and the Brooke Galinas and her teammates from White River, they all had, the whatever that color is, that I like to call it maroon, but they call it crimson, and little black skirts, and they're all in a uniform. And Lily had her salmon colored top on with some look like black yoga pants. So good to see individualism. That's probably what makes her good. She's out there just doing what she wants to do, and being very successful in whatever she had on.
All right, well, very good. That's going to do it for our 2A segment this morning. Of course, we got lots to come, starting with 3A next segment. Timberline's Lady Trailblazers open state play at 9 o'clock this morning. We also got Yelm and other things to talk about. And then later, Olympia's boys and girls also both have games today. But first, a look at traffic, weather, and a word from our sponsors. You're listening to The Baseline on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound Traffic.
Your drive is 20 minutes on I-5 northbound from 405 to 520. Anticipate scattered traffic from Auburn to Renton on 167 heading north. You have intermittent delays as you head east on 164 in Auburn just after First Street. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Anna Luisa Seves.
Hello, Lacey. Your new coastal store is opening soon. We have all the details.
Coastal Farm and Ranch. Just what the country needs.
After months of construction and years of planning, the Lacey Coastal Store is nearly ready to open in the old Shopko building. Right now, we're stocking the coastal shelves with thousands of bags of dog and livestock feed, nearly 11,000 pair of boots and other footwear, 25,000 pair of pants, as well as sporting goods, camping gear, workwear, gardening supplies, tap fencing, and more. To help get the store ready and to serve our customers when we're open, Coastal is hiring locals. Apply online at CoastalCountry.com. In the meantime, shop at nearby Coastal or online at CoastalCountry.com. To everyone in Lacey, we look forward to serving you.
Coastal Farm and Ranch, just what the country needs.
Look for the Lacey Coastal Store at 5500 Martin Way East, opening soon.
Extreme Auto Outfitters is your one-stop shop for outfitting your ride with the latest upgrades, such as Line-X truck bedliners and 3M window tinting. Outstanding accessories, too, like truck canopy, roof racks, and towing. Come on down to Extreme Auto Outfitters to learn about products that perfectly fit your needs, budget, and lifestyle. When you need extreme, you need Extreme Auto Outfitters on Capitol Boulevard in Tumwater.
You got junk on your property that you'll want to get rid of this spring? Well, spring is here. Get rid of that junk. Call your local experts in junk removal. Call G3 Junk Removal. That's G3 Junk Removal. They'll give you an estimate at no charge. Hey, it doesn't hurt to get a free estimate on removing junk from your property. Get in touch with G3 Junk Removal. They're the experts with more junk in their truck because they're helping you get it off your property. Get that ish out of here with G3 Junk Removal. Online at g3junkremovalwa.com.
It won't be a complete washout for your holiday forecast, but we're not without rain or showers throughout the weekend. Highs in the low to mid 60s, overnight lows in the upper 40s.
Olympia's KGY.
And welcome back to the Baseline, Thurston County's only high school sports roundup show. And boy, are we rounding up the sports today. You are with Dave and Noel, thanks to sponsors like Cut Rate Auto Parts. If you can't part with your car, Cut Rate has your car's part. Also, big thanks to Eleni Bottling, our local Pepsi distributor. Proud to support high school sports coverage right here on KGY. We're up to 3A, where River Ridge Hawks have some track news.
They have a track news. As far as I know, Taylor Dillon in the girls' discus is the only person who qualified for state. Somebody who's a Hawks fan can call in and dispute that if they have somebody else that we should look out for. But that is the only one I know about, and that did not take place yet. So we will talk about Dillon's performance next week.
All right, on to North Thurston, where they have golf and tennis.
Yeah, in golf, they did not make the cut as a team after the first day of the 3A state tournament, which was out at Liberty Lake in Spokane, and neither did any of the Rams move on as individuals. So they went out there and they competed, but not a favorable outcome. In boys tennis, they have Rhett Nelson, who has a first round 3A state match today against Brett Pearson of Lake Washington.
All right. On to Yelm. The girls' fast pitch had a couple of wins and a loss in the district tournament that earned them a spot at state, and they're going to play Cascade of Everett at 2 o'clock today.
Yeah, they're 8th-seeded. Cascade is 9th-seeded, and Yelm is 18-5. As we'll hear in the interview, they realize they need to score a bunch of runs to win, and last Saturday was no exception in the final day of districts. They were already assured a spot in state, but they lost a district semifinal 10-0 to Bonnie Lake, and then they took third place with a 12-8 win over Prairie. And against the Falcons, freshman first baseman Jessica Jenkins hit for the cycle. Hit for the cycle. She went 4-for-4, drove in 4 runs, and scored 4 more. Kaylee Thompson and Molly Embry. Molly drove in 5 runs, and each of them had 3 hits. And Ashley Avon belted a solo homer in that one. And interestingly, Yelm has finished at least third in the last 3 state 3A tournaments that were actually played. Obviously, there weren't any of the last 2 years, but 17, 18, and 19, they finished second twice and third once. So they need to clamp down a little bit more on the opponent's scoring runs to see if they can keep that streak going.
All right. We will see what happens there. You had a chance to talk with Coach Lindsey Walton. Here's that conversation.
Need a victory in the postseason is outslugging people.
Oh, yeah. We definitely need to hit more because our pitchers get hit.
Yeah.
We have to score every inning or multiple innings. Yeah.
So what went well today, though, particularly? Who hit well?
Jessica Jennings hit well. She hit through the cycle, had a home run. Yep, single, double, triple. Let's see here. Kaylee Thompson was 3-for-4 with a couple bunts and then a couple bunts for base hit and then a base hit over the third baseman's head.
Okay.
And Molly Embry was 3-for-4.
Okay.
With 5 RBIs.
Wow. I'm focusing on Jessica for a minute. She's a freshman, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So what has made her be able to come on strong and be a good player again in the postseason?
She's just a hard worker. She's a gamer. She's a team player. She's very focused when she's up at the plate. She's just someone who loves the game. And you can see it in everything she does.
Okay. When you lost earlier, was there any fear in the players, or did they figure that, well, you're already going to state, so I'm sitting there that much.
No fear, just disappointment in the defensive end of it. You know, we had too many errors defensively, and we need to have clean defense because, obviously, you know, like I said, pitchers get hit, so we need to clean that up.
But, obviously, you were going to state no matter what happened, but it's obviously better to go with a victory in your last game.
It is. That's the one thing we were focusing on. With, you know, after that loss, we were like, hey, let's get after this game, go in state with a win under our belt, and, you know, hopefully quite a few hits. So we can carry that, you know, positive part of the game over to state play.
Okay.
Lindsey Walton right there coaches the Yelm fast pitch team. They play today at 2. They've noticed there were three Auburns in the district tournament: Auburn, Auburn Riverside, and Auburn Mountain View.
Yeah, I guess it would indicate that that is an area that is extremely focused on softball, I would guess.
Yeah, and yep. So anyway, there's tennis news as well, and track.
Oh yeah, mostly a whole bunch of track. So let's talk about that. The biggest news in track, in my opinion anyway, was that Braden Platt has done it again. He's a sophomore that also people are aware of from football and wrestling. And in the last half of the track season, he's just come on strong in the throws. He won the shot put yesterday with a PR of 61 feet, 6 inches. And he did that on his sixth and final toss, which is not a common point in a competition for the winning mark to occur. Normally in track and field at all levels, you have three trials to see who makes the final eight. And then the final eight get three more throws. But very often that's kind of a formality, and the winning toss comes from the first three throws because people tend to get a little bit more fatigued or less focused as they go along. But Platt fired that one out there on his final toss, 61 feet, 6 inches. Sounded almost like record-breaking territory to me, but I looked it up, and it's not even close to the state meet record, which is like 68 feet. But for a sophomore who really loves football a lot more than track, that is an impressive throw. And we will see what he can do the next 2 years of high school, because that is out there, 61-6. In fact, he beat the runner-up, Caden Hotman of Hermiston, by nearly 4 feet in that event. So quite an impressive thing there. Further yesterday for the Tornadoes, Kyler Ronquillo and Jordan Lasher both qualified for the finals of the 110 hurdles. And Ronquillo finished third in the long jump finals at 22 feet, 5.5 inches. And looking back a little bit to the second day of the bi-district track meet last Friday, the Elm boys won the title as Trevante Smith won the high jump in a PR of 6 feet one. And the girls finished 14th of 25 teams, didn't have too many stellar performances on that day. Talked about tennis. They actually have done quite well in tennis. And in the boys tennis meet, Felipe Rodriguez will face Silas Healy of Ballard in a first round match, while on the girls side, another boy, Oliver Bucina, will square off against Jeremy LaSalle of Ferris. And that's taking place at Claybell Park out in Richland. And on the girls' side, Aubrey Kayford and Maya Phelps, doubles team, will play a tandem from Seattle Prep to open the event. And Jalen Carter and Selena Perez will play against a team from Mercer Island.
All right. Very good. That brings us up to Timberline Trailblazers, where the girls' fast pitch beat Lakes to advance in district play. They then lost to Heritage, but overpowered Auburn Mountain View by a ton to earn a state slot.
Yeah, they are only 11-11, but they have come on strong at the right time. As you mentioned, they lost to Heritage in the first to open the bi district tournament. There we go. Now I'm back to life, and that was out at the rack, of course. And then they did rout Auburn Mountain View 12-1. And that game could not have started out any better for the Blazers. Carissa Frederick hit a grand slam in the first inning, and they ended up with 9 runs in that inning and just kind of coasted home. Pitcher Jasmine Polanco, who I mentioned in the opening, she threw a one-hitter, struck out 12, and also hit a home run. This is a huge state tournament because 3A is the largest classification with the most schools. So Timberline is actually seeded 19th in that tournament.
Wow.
And they will meet, they're going to meet 14th seeded Prairie in about 14 minutes from now at 9 a.m. And so you do have time to get out to that one. If you're within the sound of my voice, you can get out to the rack and watch that one. And that is, unfortunately, for whoever loses, a loser out game. If they win, I think you'd look through the bracket and discover that Timberline could play as many as 4 games today if they have to, if they were to win and keep on going, win, then lose, and get put into the consolation bracket, they could conceivably play four times. So let's hope they win a couple of games so that doesn't have to happen.
All right. Yes.
Yeah.
And you talked to Coach Lindsay Polanco. We'll play that interview right now.
So I want to go back to what you were saying about Jasmine. I think you said that she helped keep the team together. And then what else did you say after that?
Two big reasons why we're state-bound.
And that's because, obviously, she's pitching well, and she also hit well, I assume, because she's been doing that. Who else came through for you, though, at the plate?
You know, that game, this last game against, Auburn, it really was a team effort. We had everybody hit, I believe, like Carissa Frederick hit a grand slam. Jasmine had a home run. Hers was a three-run home run. And then Cassidy Jack also had a home run.
So obviously the pitching going and the bats going.
Jasmine had 12 strikeouts and one hit, threw a one-hitter that game.
Do you feel like with all those things that you just talked about in that game and battling back from having a losing record to get through districts and get to state, you think you've kind of turned a momentum corner?
I think so. I mean, that's kind of, how the end of our season started, to come together. We definitely, hit kind of a null in the middle, and then they've just been building, the win. We had five games in 1 week, four of them being league games, and we beat Gig Harbor, which knocked them down from second to third place, and that was a huge win for us, and a momentum from that game has just been on the upswing. So, we went in and beat North Thurston in league games. But ever since that win over Gig Harbor, we haven't slowed down. So the momentum has definitely been picking up since then, which is, the perfect time to do it. This is when we want our momentum to be going this way.
And when was the last time that Timberline was in state? Have you been there since you've been the coach, or has it been a while?
No. 2008.
I think I went and watched those games. I was up at Brinker, I think, because my daughter was about to go to Timberlands. You started to talk about Jasmine's injury, and I got concussion against North Thurston. Is that correct?
It happened during our game with Yelm. And so she was out for the North Thurston game. She was out for the River Ridge game. I don't even know if she really did get hit, but she got brazed by a ball that was hit up the middle. It still went all the way out to center field, so that's why I'm not really sure if she did get hit or not. So, but that's what our trainer said, so that's what we rolled with.
What are the girls thinking going in? Are they now confident they can do well once you get there?
I mean, I think the tricky part for us really is that what I do know from looking at the bracket is, we'll have four games on Friday, and that's a lot of games for one pitcher. So that's going to be our biggest challenge, because we don't want to overpitch her, we don't want to wear her down. And so that's really where we lack in depth, that other teams may have. So, my freshman, she's a great little pitcher, Lily Covey, but she is a freshman, right? So, playing in big games and stuff, she hasn't had that on her resume yet. So, we're going to try to work her in if and when we can. But at the same time, we know that Jasmine can carry us. So we're going to, try to do what we can with her, but also not, put everything on her back because we don't want to do that. So we're just happy that we made it to state. We're hoping that we can win some games. But we know it's going to be a really hard path for us to make it far because of, the lack of depth at pitching. So if we can get some run support and, end after five innings like we did today, that would be ideal. But realistically, those teams are going to be good.
All right. Well, that should do it.
Thank you.
There is Lindsay Polanco. She is the Timberline fast pitch coach. They open state play in about 8 minutes.
Yeah, we'll see how they do. But as mentioned, first visit in 14 years. Can't really argue with that, regardless of how it comes out. Jasmine Polanco is a sophomore. Lily, the backup pitcher she talked about, is a freshman. And they have some other good underclass players as well. So hopefully just the start for Timberline as they try to build that program up to something resembling the other top teams in the area.
Yeah, maybe they'll be up to state for a few years in a row. They also have track, golf, and they filled some vacancies.
They did, and in the first day of track yesterday, Gage Pedro took sixth place in the boys' shot put. Looking back, there'll be some more Blazers later in the meet. And looking back to the second day of last week's bi-district meet, Ezekiel Connolly got the final qualifying spot in the 300 hurdles. Blazers boys finished ninth as a team. Abigail Pedro was second in the shot and fourth in the discus. As the Blazer girls round up 12th at the bi-districts. No Timberline boys or girls golfer survived the first day cut at the 3A state tournament out at Liberty Lake in Spokane. So, can't really say it's a disappointing finish because, you know, some players just make that first visit to state is a big deal. So, successful season for those who did make it, but not as successful as might have been, I guess. The athletic director, Mike Tafoya, as you mentioned, was quite busy hiring a whole bunch of coaches at Timberline. We talked at length about the retirement of baseball coach Mark Rubidoux a couple of weeks ago. And as he had desired, one of his assistants was elevated to the head coaching job, Doug LaPalme, who is a teacher at Timberline and also played for Timberline back in his high school days. And three other sports have new coaches at Timberline. Liz Canwright was named the new girls basketball coach. Nick Boatwright will add the girls soccer program to the boys soccer team he was already coaching. And Matt Menestez will become the volleyball coach. So a lot of new faces blowing whistles out on Mullen Road.
All right. Well, that's great to hear about. As new people come on board, and we'll see what works out for that. So that's going to do it for our that segment right there. Don't go away. We have plenty to come up. Olympia boys and girls are both in the state 4A tournament. Capital has a new state champion. But first, traffic, weather, CBS Eye on Travel. Don't go away. It's the Baseline on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
Your drive is 20 minutes on I-5 northbound from 405 to 520. Anticipate scattered traffic from Aubrey to Renton on 167 heading north. You have intermittent delays as you head east on 164 in Auburn just after First Street. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Aceves.
Sponsored by Mattress Firm. Junk sleep got you down. The sleep experts at Mattress Firm can help. Get a king bed for a queen price and save up to $500 off during the best Memorial Day sale ever. Plus, get a free adjustable base with qualifying purchase.
Are we ready for a little fun? Yes. This is Rick Dees. I can't wait to meet you here this weekend. The weekly Top 40 Countdown is ready to go. Do we have some Dees Sleeves for everybody?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go out on a limb with the weekly Top 40 Sure Shot. You can win huge prizes.
I am amazed.
The weekly Top 40 Countdown here this weekend. We'll see you.
Rick Dees Retro Top 40 this Saturday from 8 o'clock right here at Olympia's KGY.
This isn't your regular Coke, so this isn't your regular cola ad. This is Nitro Pepsi, the first cola ever infused with nitrogen. Think an infusion of smaller bubbles for a cola that's got a lighter, smoother texture. And don't get me started on the pour. We're talking turn the can completely upside down and watch as those bubbles cascade into the glass to create a frothy, luxurious foam topping. This is cola like you've never had it before. Nitro Pepsi. Smooth, creamy, delicious.
Okay, let's have a serious discussion. You got hurt on the job, and now you can't work. Or maybe you were in a crash, and it wasn't your fault. Now you're dealing with an insurance company. You're losing wages, and the medical bills are piling up. Will the insurance money last as long as you're paying in disability? What if medical bills pop up down the line that you didn't foresee? Who's going to pay for that? Another thing, did you read the fine print? Did it make any sense at all? Maybe it's time to get a good law firm, one that's limited its practice to victims of workplace injuries and car accidents for over 40 years. A firm like Putnam, Lee, Potvin, Daly. Catherine Plotvin, Dustin Daly, and Laura Federco. They know what they're doing. So much so, they've been awarded honors as super lawyers and best lawyers of America. They're on your side. They'll fight for you to make things right. Don't be bullied by insurance companies. That's just adding insult to injury. Call award-winning attorneys Putnam, Lieb, Plotvin, Daly today at 800-225-4529 or check PUTNAMLIEB.com.
Race fans, OCCU presents 2 days of NARC 410 sprint car action at Grays Harbor County Raceway and a giant fireworks show on Sunday. Get tickets online now for Saturday night racing and Sunday night racing with a giant fireworks. No one lights up the sky like Grays Harbor Raceway. Don't miss the parade on Sunday at 1 p.m. in Elma. Then head over to Grays Harbor County Fairgrounds in Elma this Memorial Weekend. Gates open at 4:30, racing at 6. Grays Harbor Raceway, the fastest way to family fun.
Sports fans, Spin Tees Screen Print and Graphics gives you the very best printing and embroidery. Perfect for teams, schools, companies, or special events. Get excellent quality, custom design, quick turnaround, and low pricing. Count on Spin Tees for quality brands like Port Authority, Sport Tech, and District Threads. Easy ordering and results you'll love. 1025 Black Lake Boulevard in Olympia. Online at SpinTeesPrints.com. Friend Spin Tees on Facebook.
I know it's technically still spring, but summertime has arrived over at Kohl's. I shopped their Hello Summer sale and got 40% off patio furniture, 50% off a few outdoor dining essentials, found a cute bikini top for under 20 bucks, and because I spent over $25, I got $10 off. Plus, I earned Kohl's cash. So if you want more style, more savings, and more sunshine, you know where to go. Flex Styles offers end May 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
You know when you see a great deal on a phone and then you find out it's not for you? Not at Verizon.
They just gave us all a new iPhone 13.
So we both got the same great deal.
Yep.
Get iPhone 13 on us with select trade-in and 5G unlimited plans for every customer, current, new, everyone, to show the love. Only from Verizon. $799.99, 128 gigabytes only, device payment purchase with new or upgrade smartphone line required. Less up to $800 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. 0% APR. Trade-in conditions apply.
Did you know that United Healthcare helps connect you to doctors and therapists with 24/7 access to virtual care?
So I could have therapy from my couch?
Yep.
Or a doctor appointment from my car?
If you wanted to.
Wait, you're right. I don't even like when people see me sing in the car. Couch appointment it is.
Virtual visits are just one of the ways United Healthcare helps connect you to better health. Learn more at UHC.com. Plan benefits may vary.
I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is today's Eye on Travel Minute. So what annoys you the most on an airline flight? Before COVID, annoying passenger behavior might be the guy in front of you reclining his chair into your knees, or a crying baby. For many passengers, the annoyances range from the body odor of a seatmate, loud talking, or a kid kicking the back of your seat. But the long-standing bad behaviors? Passengers taking off their shoes and socks, or clipping their toenails, or overpowering cologne or perfume, or talking nonstop. During the pandemic, the big annoyance, of course, was drunk or unruly passengers. But in the most recent survey, one surprise item of traveler annoyance made the list. Passengers applauding when the plane lands. That one I can live with. After all, we landed. For more information, visit petergreenberg.com. I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is today's Eye on Travel Minute.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit LibertyMutual.com to learn more. LibertyMutual.com. Olympia's AJY.
I don't know.
And welcome back to the Baseline on a overcast and occasionally rainy Friday morning. You're with Dave Weber and myself, Noel Wall. And we are here thanks to Spin Tees Prints. They do excellent work. You can find Spin Tees at their newer location behind Minuteman Press on Olympia's West Side. Better yet, find them online at SpinTeesPrints.com. Also, Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, who is celebrating 20 years of helping patients get up and moving and maintaining good health. They are online at AnkleFoot.net. And a big thanks to Putnam, Lieb, Potvin, Daly, taking the insult out of injury, premier workers' compensation, and car accident attorneys. And in the last segment, we start with the Capital Cougars, where they have golf, tennis, and track. And I misspoke about a state champion. I misread that Hannah Mall, I thought, had won the higher or the hurdles. But she was first, I guess, in the qualifying. Is that right?
That's correct. They will have the finals in that event later today. She definitely has a chance. She has the best 3A mark all year and is second behind Gerald Holt, the freshman sensation from Emerald Ridge in all classifications. So she's got a shot. She led the qualifiers yesterday, 15.17, not her best mark at all. She's gone at least 3 or 4 tenths faster than that, so we'll see what happens in the finals. But more importantly to most fans and maybe even to Hannah and her sister Amanda themselves, right now, 2 minutes ago, the 3A pole vault was scheduled to take off up at Mount Tahoma. And, of course, as everyone knows by now, those two are the two best junior pole vaulters on Earth right now. And last week they both pole vaulted 14 feet even to help the Cougars to the girls team championships at the bi-district meet. If you count Hannah's win there in the 100 hurdles and Amanda's second in the long jump and their contributions to Capitol's winning 4x100 relay, they accounted for more than half of the Cougars' 76 points at district. So
wow,
quite a production there for them. The boys finished sixth in the district meet as a team. In the sport of golf, the Cougars did not make the team cut after the first day at 3A golf at Liberty Lake. Eli McNelly, Parker Swatsky, and John Michael Merchant did survive as individuals, and they finished in the middle of the pack out there. No hardware to bring home. In boys tennis, Colby Sinkmars will open the 3A state singles today. He will play Henry Liu of Mercer Island at Claybell Park in Richland.
All right. And let's see. I was looking ahead. So we're done with Capitol. On to Olympia. The boys beat Chihuahua. They're going to face Richland Bombers in today's semifinal. In the other semi, if Puyallup beats Skyline, Dave, it could be an all-District 4 final.
It could be, and those two are the biggest rivals all year. They're also seeded 1 and 2, Olympia number 1, Puyallup 2, in reality, because Olympia beat Puyallup for the district title. So I think they split during the regular season in the 4A SPSL. But yeah, Olympia is having a great season. They're 23-3. They did get those regional wins over Chihuahua and Issaquah on Saturday at the rack. And Texas Tech bound left-hander Tabor Fast was the star for the Bears in the first game, a 3-1 win over Chihuahua, in which all the runs were scored by both teams in the first inning. He drove in a run as designated hitter, while all these other two runs came in on passed balls. Then against Issy, he shut out the Eagles on 2 hits and struck out 9. Also had 3 hits and drove in 2 runs, as did first baseman Evan Nickel. And shining on the mound for the Bears was in the first game was Washington State-bound Rylan Hyder. He struck out 8 and went the distance in the semifinal game. And as you mentioned, today at Giesa Stadium in Pasco, the Bears will be playing Richland at 12:45. The last time that the 4A state baseball tournament was played, the Bears were the runners-up, losing the championship game to Moses Lake in 2019. So a win today over Richland would put the Bears in back-to-back finals, and that's not a bad accomplishment, especially when they're 3 years apart like that. You know, you have a really good team and finish in the finals, you know, 2 consecutive years, that's a good enough accomplishment right there. But to hold your quality over 4 years to finish in 2019-2022 in the final game would be an even more intense accomplishment. So that would be great to see and might, as we mentioned, lead to a storybook final against their league rival Puyallup in the semifinal. Puyallup plays Skyline today to see who will advance to that one. Tomorrow, the third place game will be at 9:30 a.m., and then there'll be a long break before the championship game comes up at 4 p.m. So that's what's going on with Olympia baseball.
All right.
Softball.
We'll hope they do well against the Bombers. Yeah, the girls are going to open state play at noon today.
They will, and they are going to play eight-seeded Redmond at the Dwight Merkle Sports Complex in Spokane. I think that's the first time I've heard of the Dwight Merkle Sports Complex, but that is where 4A girls softball is happening this year. The Bears are 17-6. They had opened bi-district play last week with a win over Decatur, but then they lost to Kentwood and to that same old 4A SPSL rival Puyallup, who is also the biggest competition in softball as well as baseball. And that kind of dropped the Bears' seeding down a little bit. They are the 9 seed against Redmond's 8 today. And in that 12-7 loss to Puyallup, Sammy Potvin wasn't pitching. She was playing first base. She homered twice. And Brooklyn Crass hit a home run to lead the Bears to where they are today, which is the game against Redmond.
All right. And there's also, of course, track as well as golf and tennis for Olympia.
Yeah. And in track, we mentioned there were some state champions from the area already. And one of those did come from Olympia, Ethan Coleman, who we talk about a lot. He made his final high school 1600, his best high school 1600. He had a PR of 406.28 to win the championship of that event by more than 4 seconds. And the 4x400 relay of Kenyatta McNeese Jr., Parker Fouts, Connor Johnson, and Coleman qualified second behind Lake Stevens, just as seeded. And on the girls' side, the Bears 4x4 team of Jenna Rigg, Caitlin Rigg, Samantha Christie, and Ava Woolen qualified for the finals. And looking back to last week's districts, the Notre Dame-bound Coleman won the 3200 as well as the 1600. The Olympia boys took third place as a team. Dane Boswell was second in the pole vault. Jonathan Holcomb sixth in the triple jump. And on the girls' side, Olympia was seventh as a team. And they do have some people that will be competing, obviously, as we mentioned later in the state meet. And then they had both of their teams in as teams in the girls and boys 4A golf at Hawks Prairie out in Lacey. Sanjana Chalasani finished fifth individually in the girls, and the Bears finished seventh as a team. But just down the road from their campus at Indian Summer, the Olympia boys did not clear the cut as a team, nor did they have any individuals advance in the golf tournament. So tough finishes for Ole, but as we mentioned, just to get there as a team in both of those is an accomplishment as well. And boys tennis 4A will be out in Kennewick. And in boys singles, Gabe Ong meets Henry Park of Jackson. And on the girls' side, Hadley Minista meets Haley Kirker of Camas in the first round, while Kristen Chang plays Heather Hayes of Wenatchee. And in doubles, Ella Richards will team with Sarah Wilson to take on Naisha Smith. Well, I don't know why I said Smith. Naisha Sinha and Isha Honda of Jackson.
All right. Thank you for all that. I want to remind people that the Olympia and Beyond Sports Commission Sports Awards nominations are open right now. They're open through June 30th. There is a link to information and the nomination forms on our website, so you can go there and find them. I think I'm going to make a nomination, and if you have been listening to the show and follow sports, maybe you'll want to make a nomination as well. And Dave, I think you have said before that they were pretty instrumental in getting all those golf tournaments to Thurston County here.
Yeah, the Olympia and Beyond Sports Commission is kind of something that it was put together in the last few years, and they've done a fantastic job doing such things. They have what they do is they lock in with the facilities that exist in the area and try to bring events to those facilities. They have a complex algorithm that they keep track of how much money they believe that brings into the local area. And with those golf courses and then other facilities such as the Rack and so on, they have brought in a lot of events and filled up a lot of hotel rooms and put a lot of people into the restaurants. So good for the overall community and good for sports fans to be able to check out things that are interesting to watch, and also good for local sports parents who don't have to drive their kids all over the place if the events are here in town.
All right. Well, That's very good, and that's going to wrap it up for our penultimate show of the year. The show has been brought to you in part by a passion for high school sports and the continued success of our student athletes, but mostly it's brought to you by our sponsors. Please do support them. If you missed anything, you can find the podcast on KGY-FM. Later today, our own Mr. Stein and Molly Gilmore bring us Ole in a Can during the 3 o'clock hour of the show. Look at some fun things going on in the area. This week, Northwest Folklife Festival returns. Let's see, good treats coming to the big screen at Capitol Theater. There's also last weekend for a couple of live theater events. So listen to that, Ole in a Can, 3 o'clock. Thanks to Kevin the Brit Huffer, as always, for his help. And thank you for listening this morning. Join us next Friday as we wrap up all the state competition stuff right here on the Baseline. Right now, news followed by the Friday Workday Kickoff on KGY.
You've been listening to The Baseline with Noel Wall and Olympian prep reporter Dave Weber.